Well, here we are on Pentecost Sunday. The season of Easter has ended, and we are now at what is sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church, because this is when something profound happened that changed, well, it changed everything. And so the sermon title comes from sort of the basic question, so what about Pentecost? And as I was thinking about it, there's actually two different ways you can phrase that question, which will, needless to say, provide two different answers. You can ask it in the form of, so what about Pentecost? Or, so what about Pentecost? And I'm hoping we can get at least a bit of an indication to the answer of both of those this Sunday. That's an extraordinary story, isn't it? You have the Jews who have put their faith in Jesus, a very small group, being together, hanging out, fearful, no doubt, as it's said in other places, because they didn't know what was going to come next. They'd heard a number of things. They'd heard Jesus talking about what was going to come next, but hearing and knowing are often profoundly different. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together, and a sound like a violent wind came from heaven. The house they were in was shaken. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire resting on their heads and on each other's heads. And I'm sure that must have been, well, I think it must have been frightening at first. Fire is one of those things that, well, it frightens us because we can't control it. Anyone who has any connection with anyone in Fort McMurray has got a deeper sense of exactly what fire can mean. And I don't think it's an accident or a coincidence that the Holy Spirit took that form. It's a reminder of the fundamental inability we have to control everything, no matter how much we might like it. But still, tongues of fire that, once the initial shock was over, I think people just saw it as something extraordinary about to happen. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. One of the many things that strikes me about this passage and about this story isn't the miracle of these other tongues. So people who didn't speak whatever language everybody else spoke around them suddenly heard this message in their own language. The extraordinary, miraculous nature of it is one thing. But what strikes me again is how hospitable that is. I don't know how many of you have traveled in other countries or even in other provinces where a language is spoken that's not your first language or maybe one you don't understand at all. But after a day of interacting with people as best you can and listening to other people talking in a language that means virtually nothing to you, when you suddenly hear English, your ears perk up. At least it did for me. And you suddenly have this sense of, oh, okay, things are closer to normal. There's something about the language that we know best. It's often called our mother tongue, and I don't think that's a bad name for it, because it brings all the connotations of mother as well, the comfort and all those things that come with it when we hear our own language. And for the Holy Spirit to enable this message to be heard by everyone in their own language is a gift of hospitality. It's God once again saying, I'm going to come to where you are. I'm not asking you to come to me. One of the most pernicious difficulties we have as people trying to move into this relationship with God through Jesus is this deep sense that we so often have that we need to fix ourselves and then God will pay attention to us, or we need to clean ourselves up and then we can go to God, when it's the exact opposite. We go to God to be cleaned up, to be fixed. God reaches to us where we are always. And this is another picture of this. God didn't tell these people from Pamphylia and Pontus and all these other places that Jean read for us, didn't say, look, you learn Aramaic, and then I'll talk to you. Or whatever language it was. God said, there's this new and profound and extraordinary message that I have for you, and here it is in your own language. There are some people who turn this experience at Pentecost into a normative prescription for the church, as I've sometimes heard it said, which just means that some people say that for the Holy Spirit to be fully present, this has to happen in the very details, which, well, that's not the case. Just so we can get that perfectly clear, that is not the case. The Holy Spirit does not always arrive with tongues of fire, does not always arrive with languages that you don't understand but other people do, or for that matter, with languages that nobody understands except the Holy Spirit. This is a picture of how God came in the form of the Holy Spirit to those people for that time. And every time is different. Some things are common, and that's why I think it's equally fascinating that when Peter addressed the crowd after first doing his best to restore the reputation of the people there, saying, "No, we are not drunk, it's 9 a.m, that's ridiculous, so just get past that." And he goes back to the book of the prophet Joel, which to anyone who was familiar with Judaism would know well as one of the prophets. And he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." And Peter is saying that what Joel talked about hundreds of years before is happening now. God's Holy Spirit has always been here. The Holy Spirit didn't suddenly pop into existence at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. As part of the mystery of the Trinity, the three in one, the Holy Spirit has always been. But there are new opportunities, new experiences with the Holy Spirit that are given to the church and to individuals at various times. And there's nothing unusual about that. We have new experiences of relationship with the people in our lives. We get to know them better, or we go through a wonderful experience or a harrowing experience and we become closer in relationship. It doesn't mean that there was no relationship before. It just means it's new and it's different. And the Holy Spirit did the same thing then. But what's interesting is the tenses. And I, as you know, I don't take a lot of sermons and have them turn on Greek or Hebrew tenses because, well, first of all, I don't really think that's necessary most of the time, and it frequently is just confusing, because Greek has got some really interesting ways of talking about time, but we'll leave that for another day. But when we look at what Joel says, he says, speaking on behalf of God, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." He's not saying that this will only happen in the future. He's saying when it happens, it will happen. It's a version almost of this historical present. He's saying this is what will characterize that time. Sons and daughters prophesying, the young and the old having visions and dreams. And he's not just talking about the regular dreams that most of us have most nights. Talking about a connection with God that transcends our usual day-to-day life. That's what a vision is. That's what these kind of dreams are. This is what prophecy is. It's not just looking around and saying, on the basis of everything I know, this is a good thing to do. Although prophecy often demonstrates a good thing to do. A good thing to do. It's saying that there will be a connection with God that begins at this point and continues. Because when Joel is talking about sons and daughters, about young and old people, on men and women, it's going to start and continue. It's not a one-time thing. Pentecost was the birthday of the church. It wasn't the one day of the church. At Pentecost, the church as we know it now sprang into being. A church that was radically inclusive of every single human being. That you no longer had to make a transition from your culture into Judaism to become close to God. But it was open to everyone. That list of languages and people from other places that could understand for the first time is an illustration of all people at all times. And that's what happened at Pentecost. A new way of thinking. There was never a time when God was indifferent to non-Jews. But God used Judaism, the religion of the Old Testament, in a particular way to pull people in, to move them towards Him by moving into something. At Pentecost, it goes the other way around. At Pentecost, God moves out. And we see in this gift of these different languages, we see God saying, I won't allow anything to get in the way. And if there's anything that gets in the way of communication, it's language, including when we all speak the same language. Oh, I suspect all of us, if we had a dollar for every time the word that we used meant something radically different that it meant to the person we were talking to, I don't think we'd have financial problems anymore. We'll just leave it at that. Language gets in the way of communication sometimes. And when you don't speak a language, it's even more difficult. That's why missionaries go into a new culture and they learn the language. They don't go in there and teach the language. They don't go in there and teach English. They learn the language. And those who are gifted in these abilities are those kind of people that internalize the language to such an extent that they can then communicate the richness of God's message to people in a way that they can fully understand. And that's another gift of languages, another gift of tongues. I always find it interesting when I think of languages. I'm not good at other languages. Well, I really only speak English, and Greek was a real challenge for me. I can sound like I speak other languages because I've got a pretty good ear, but I don't have a clue what's going on. And the flip side of this are some people who I've run across. I think it was James, who was interacting with some people in mainland China. And he'd arranged to meet them and at a particular place. And so when they got together, they said, "Where's James?" Only in his Chinese name. He said, "Well, that's me." And he said, "Well, that can't be you. You're white." He had internalized the ability to communicate with them to such an extent that he sounded like a native speaker. Someone like that can open up scripture in a way that I can't to those people. And we see that from the very beginning, that the Holy Spirit said, we, the Trinity, God, will reach out to people in a way that is compassionate, that's open, that's hospitable to them. And it's going to continue. Because that's why we read Joel. That's why Peter went to Joel. To say that this will happen. Joel said this will happen. And Peter is saying this has happened. And from this moment on, the people who name God as their own, all of us who have this relationship with God through Jesus, are going to be the kind of people who have such a connection with God that we'll have visions that help us see beyond just what our experience and talent would tell us. That things will change forever. I always like that last part of Joel. Joel is probably you're always in dangerous territory. You talk about a favorite book or anything like that, but the book of Joel is one that resonates with my spirit in extraordinary ways whenever I read it. And there's several different verses in there that mean a lot to me. But the one that Peter ends with, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," is a reminder to us that at that point something changed. And whatever we might think of how Judaism was supposed to work, something hadn't worked the way it was supposed to from that point, or up until that point. And God said, "This is the way it is now. There are no barriers, not barriers of language or culture or religious tradition or anything." So what about Pentecost? Well, Pentecost is why we're here. Pentecost is why we're in. Pentecost is why we can reach out. Because there is no longer a barrier of any sort between God and his people, except our indifference, our unwillingness to hear. I love Pentecost. As some of you know, some years we've actually sung Happy Birthday to the Church on Pentecost. We're not going to do that today. You don't have to worry about that. But because it brought in something that was so dramatically and radically new that we have that had never been seen before, that became the gift to us, that we can become the gift to others. Pentecost was the last stroke in God saying that I will reach out to my people no matter what. First through sending my son, and now through sending my people, empowered by the Holy Spirit, which is what we all are. I've never had tongues of fire on my head, my lack of hair notwithstanding. I've never been given the gift of tongues, of speaking a language that I didn't know. But I'm as filled with the Holy Spirit as they were. Because with the relationship that we have with God through Jesus comes the Holy Spirit poured upon us, that we too might be hospitable on behalf of God, inviting those to come into the same relationship that we have for God's glory and to bring his kingdom. Amen.